You're listening to the Housing Innovation Alliance podcast in partnership with the University of Denver's Franklin L. Burns School of Real Estate and Construction Management. The Housing Innovation Alliance is a nationwide community of game changers driving the future of home delivery through crowd-accelerated innovation. We represent thought leaders from dirt to dweller with a focus on the production builder's business environment.
Welcome to Focus CX. I'm Paul Curtis, and in this podcast, we will explore how you can disrupt your market through innovative thinking that puts the customer first.
Well, thank you for joining me on Focus CX, where we drill into the latest innovations affecting the customer experience. With me, I have two of the founders of I See What You See, an exciting new startup that has taken the industry by storm. Welcome Luke Kruger and Guillermo Salazar from I See What You See. Guys?
Hey, Paul, thanks for having us today.
Yeah, Paul, thanks for having us. Definitely. Appreciate it.
Yeah, wonderful to have you too. And also mention that you have a third founder as well, Danny, and he's not able to join us here today, but we'll get him in, Danny Way, and we'll get him in certainly in a future podcast. So tell us a little bit about yourselves and what led you to this exciting new company. And for our listeners out there, let me just give you a quick backdrop on I See What You See. It is a remote platform for design for the service industry. And so what makes this so exciting is that we're all going digital, right, with COVID and the pandemic. And we're doing a lot of Zoom meetings, we're doing a lot of remote meetings, but yet there's no product out there to do remote service calls. This is the first product that I know out there that is taking the industry really by storm. Builders are signing up because this is creating incredible leverage, it's creating an incredible customer experience, and it's saving the builder a ton of money. So why don't we start with Luke, why don't you give us a little background and then talk to us about how it led you here and a little bit more about the company.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Paul. Grew up in the industry, really. My dad's a general contractor. And so I've been very familiar with both, you know, the entrepreneurship side and the construction industry for as long as I can remember. But, you know, given that exposure, so I started my first company when I was in university after having worked for my dad for several years. My first company was a software product that would 3D model people's homes. This is like, not to date myself too much, but kind of like early days, even before AutoCAD. And we were importing products from overseas based off of these models and installing in people's homes for, you know, less than 50% of the cost of, you know, going down to a Home Depot and doing it that way. So I sold that company, went on to actually ran an accelerator in Asia for a while. And then, you know, followed a girl to a new city and started investing in some early stage tech companies. And that's actually where I met Guillermo. We had invested in a couple of companies together, and he was crashing in my office at the time. And that's kind of how we met. But in terms of this company and why we built this product in particular, I was kind of led full circle all the way back to, you know, I'd gone home to visit my folks one day, and my dad was telling me about how he has started collaborating with contractors and third parties and even inspectors over FaceTime. And it was really interesting because, you know, it worked really well for some people, but obviously only about 25% of the world is on iPhone. And so the whole thing kind of breaks down. And so started thinking about how can we bridge this gap of, you know, not putting people in their vehicles, driving around their respective cities all day to different job sites, and how can we connect them with video and allow them to do their work remotely. And this was, you know, 2 years ago, way before any of us were ever thinking about COVID or anything like that.
Fantastic. Guillermo, tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you here.
Sure. You know, again, similar to Luke in that, you know, a long life of entrepreneurial adventures. I came out of community university, and I started a 20-year career in management consulting, working for different sizes of firms, and then also built up, on the way, built a hockey stick company. So sell those and 200 stores. And that really began, you know, in terms of your podcast here, learning a ton about CX and how customers want to choose products based on their experiences they have with their vendors, right? And how it came about to, you know, the problem that we solve is I had a customer service issue with a product in my home. My garage door opener failed, and it was under part warranty, but not under home warranty. And so I had called a third party to come out and take a look. And his instant assessment was, first pay the $200 call out fee, and then and you need a new garage door opener. That'll be another $1,000, right? And I was frustrated by that, given that the part was still under warranty, and, you know, got a hold of the manufacturer and, you know, did a lot of this legwork myself that we're all doing all the time, right? Where I, you know, one call, two call, three call, four calls, finally get a hold of the technician on the phone that can help talk me through diagnosing the issue with the garage door opener. And, you know, that call in itself was a great call. The technician did a great job, but I'm into my, you know, I'm into, you know, a good hour and 10 minutes of diagnosis, doing this all blind, really feeling around the dark, trying to figure out, you know, which button to push and all this and all that, and eventually get to a resolution, you know. But nonetheless, the next day as Luke mentioned, I was crashing in his office, and I said, you know, this is my experience I had yesterday. This must be fixed. This call could have been, by the time we hit resolution, it could have been 5 minutes. And that technician, as kind as he was, spent, you know, an hour and 10 minutes with me on the phone. He could have been done his job in 5 minutes, and we could have been both, you know, completed the resolved call. And so that's not very productive use of his time and a productive use of my time. And so we set about trying to solve the problem. And you know, that was the first iteration of I See What You See, was really in the customer service context. And as we'll discuss a little bit further today, it really is bridged out into collaborating with customers and third parties using video.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, guys. It's really an exciting product from the standpoint. Let's just kind of take a step back for our listeners here and try to visualize. Always tough to talk about software, you know, in podcasts because you can't see it, right? So let's see if we can create a visual here for everybody to what this does. So I'm customer. I'm my refrigerator has blinky lights now are going off. Something's not working right. I send a service request to my builder saying, hey, I've got a problem. And what happens next? You know, the typical experience is, well, they're going to have to schedule for somebody to come out and take a look. And with COVID going on, obviously, we have massive issues of exposure and risk now of somebody entering the home. So I See What You See now comes into play. Why don't you describe to us what the customer experience is? Guillermo, you want to take that one and talk
sure.
us through?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah,
you bet. Customer, I just sent my request. What happens next?
So then the first thing you'd probably do is that, you know, let's talk about the world today. The world today is you'd get that call in, and then you'd schedule some time out in the future where the foreman will go out there, or the warranty representative will go out there, and they'll go out there and review the situation. So that's one trip. And then often they may not be the right person to solve it, maybe something more sophisticated than a first-time fix. And then they got to schedule a second trip. Meanwhile, the customers have downtime the whole time, and they're having ill will or negative customer experience around the product they bought, the house. With I See What You See, the flip side, here's the new world, is that customer will call in the warranty center, and then the warranty center will send an SMS message to that customer or text message, and it has a link in it. The customer clicks a link, and they're instantly on a video call with the technician on the other side of the phone. And with that, the technician is able to take a look at the, let's say, the fridge in this case, and diagnose, okay, you know, let's say your ice isn't being made because the setting is set up incorrectly in the fridge. Well, the technician can talk the customer through that resolution instantly and get the customer's back uptime, you know, their products, you know, working again. And that interaction we've seen, it takes about like 3 to 4 minutes. And so you can have the customer go from complaint to resolution, you know, let's say under 5 minutes, and you haven't dispatched a truck. Whereas otherwise, you're trying to coordinate schedules. And what we've also added on top of that is augmented reality. And so not only is just the video, but the end user, the technician, is able to draw on the screen of the telephone so they can actually really get to resolution faster. So saying, you know, push this button, push that button, rather than can you see this and can you see that? And so you really accelerate time of resolution and eliminate truck rolls and make your customers happier.
So tell me about essentially the feature set. So I alluded to the fact that you could record with this. Tell me a little bit more about that and how that all works.
Yeah, so at the base level, we send an SMS message to a link to any smartphone anywhere in the world. So it's platform and device agnostic. So you should be able to connect to 99.9% of the globe who has a smartphone. We've all used the iPhone example, the FaceTime example, which is really great for about 25% of the world. But if you're on an Android device, a Google device, anything else, you know, you're really out of luck. And so we wanted to build a product that could connect to anybody so that you could use it with all different types of third parties, contractors, customers, everybody. And what's interesting, and Guillermo could probably get a little more into this, is our original thesis was we wanted to use augmented reality. And we thought that would be a big game changer for customers. And it is to an extent, but what we've found is that our customers are actually more interested in connecting to anybody very simply. So just by clicking on a link and owning that process and having the recording of that video. So we allow you to brand that text message, that video session, so it doesn't look like third-party software. And that's actually proven to be a lot more important, you know, in addition to the obvious visual that goes along with video, rather than the augmented reality portion of it. Although being technology geeks, we kind of think that's fun.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the video piece. So let's say I'm a customer, I'm having a problem with my refrigerator. You basically send me a link. You know, I send a tech support to say, hey, if you have time at 2 o'clock, we'll connect you via our platform. And boom, you know, I get a link at 2 o'clock. I hit that and boom, there's the guy. I show him my fridge. He starts circling things. Well, you push this button here and I can see that on my cell phone, correct? That's how that would work in terms of the AR piece, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to get an SMS message, click that link and be dropped into a video call, just like FaceTime, except that call is going to be branded and I'm going to have augmented reality tools or markup tools where I essentially have a marker and I can draw on your screen in real time. So give you more detailed instruction on how to fix something. If I want to draw your attention to a certain area or you know, focus in on a problem, we can do that. And the whole idea is just to get to resolution quicker. You know, Guillermo described how with his garage door opener, he spent multiple hours describing it essentially blind because you're just on the phone. You know, you're going to be able to do 10x better being in video. And then if I've got, you know, the markup function, then I'm going to be another 10x better because I can draw your attention and give you more detailed instruction on what to do.
And let's go down this customer experience even further. So now I'm the buyer. We end the call. I go, oh my gosh, that was so simple. I just needed to, you know, hit this button 5 times and the other button 3 times. But then a month from now, I forget. So now I can go and access that video, correct? As I understand it, that video is something the consumers can have access to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So in our software, every session is recorded by default. And then you're going to get some prompts as a customer at the end of the call or as the end user at the end of the call. So you're going to have that session. It's going to say, would you like a copy of this recording? Which really serves multiple purposes. The example that you gave, Paul, which is, you know, we went through a break fix. You fixed it. And you know, if the issue comes up again, you've got a video to recall that. The other thing that our customers really like and, you know, in the construction industry is the ability to inspect issues or proof of work. So if you've got, you know, third-party contractors that are at a site, you don't happen to be there, they can show you the work was done, completed to your standard, that kind of thing. But then also if there's complaints about, you know, a defect or, you know, something going wrong, you can have a visual record of that. And you don't get into this he said, she said of, well, I told you that this was the problem and you misunderstood it and thought that it was this, and it kind of removes that.
Yeah, I was going to get into that whole side of it. So from the consumer experience side, really great, because now I have, you know, ability to have a record of all this stuff and knowledge, essential knowledge base for me to go back to when I want to, you know, if I forgot how to change my air filter, I can go play that video again and all the instructions are going to be given to me again at my fingertips. Super cool. On the company side, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I think is super exciting. So you can just name one of them, which is a big liability protection. So now we have the full recording of that service experience. We know what was said. All that he said, she said stuff now is pretty much gone because we've got it. We've got it now, full recording. And so before we go any further, I know everybody's going to be saying, oh my gosh, privacy issues. Tell me how we manage that. How do you guys handle that whole issue?
So, I mean, we do, before the call kicks off, right now when you call in a call center, you're prompted, you know, this call is recording for training and recording or training and quality assurance purposes. And we follow very similar along the lines of that principle, right? And that, you know, so we do prompt the end user. They do consent to being recorded. And we haven't had any issues as far as customers not consenting to recording because they're motivated to try and solve the resolution. And right. Post call, there is a, you know, there's a process that if they do want to have their data erased, they can do that. Now, you consider what's available with FaceTime and so on, and the personal applications, they really are about creating a personal connection and exchanging personal information person to person, right? Where we create an enterprise level connection to your end customer. So this is a real truly built for business to consumer or business to business interaction, so that you don't have to create a contact with that. You're talking about the privacy thing again, right? Like if you don't have the technician creating a personal contact with their end user, if they're making a FaceTime call, or all that data sitting on their personal devices or in their personal iClouds, right? Now, when we have it all in the enterprise level, like how I See What You See works, that data never sits on a personal device, and that contact never is made with a personal connection. So what you end up having is all that data is sitting inside a single workspace so that enterprises can actually manage their privacy. So what's interesting is that by using I See What You See, companies enable their ability to manage their privacy obligations rather than turning a blind eye to existing processes that violate their privacy obligations or make it virtually impossible to stand by their obligations to their customers around compliance. Privacy.
Well, at the heart of all privacy issues today in the world, it's all about customer consent. And the point being is I think most builders today and companies today, they don't get consent for a lot of the stuff they're doing, and therefore they're in violation. With your process, you're guaranteeing that they're in full compliance because a homeowner is in control. They can opt in, they can opt out, and therefore you keep the company in safe harbor. I mean, mm-hmm. to me, that's the simple on it, correct?
Yeah, a couple of minutes ago, you mentioned that it's the Wild West, and one of Guillermo and my favorite questions or lines to go to, you know, when we're talking to a new home builder or company looking at our solution, is, you know, if we were to go out and audit 10 company devices right now, whether it's iPads or phones or whatever, how many of them would have photos or video of customer sites, customer locations inside of homes, that type of thing? And the answer is always 10 out of 10, right? And if your devices are set up like mine are, or like Guillermo's are, they back up to personal iCloud accounts and stuff like that. And so now you've got all this customer data floating around on individuals, you know, personal or even family cloud accounts, which creates, you know, a whole new level of security and privacy concerns, not to mention the fact that you as the company don't have those records. They're sitting on somebody's cloud.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, right now, something like that could take days to a week to get something resolved, or you have this very opaque, you know, instructions that are sent over and the customer is frustrated trying to figure it out. You know, and the builder's really kind of hamstrung right now trying to remotely service things, right? And avoid getting in the house. But yet in the end of the day, it's a product that, you know, a service guy has to be able to see in order to fix. So your product essentially short circuits all of that in a good way. I mean, frankly, it cuts it all down and uses technology to make this quick and easy. From a customer standpoint, I would imagine this is a huge home run. For them, you just totally de-risked the system. Now they don't have to worry about, you know, getting exposed here. And furthermore, the time frame is just reduced so much now that they can fix it now. And so that's going to be an amazing customer experience.
Oh yeah, from a data perspective, for some of our customers that thought, you know, they believe that they could not get any higher from a customer satisfaction or NPS scores, they're actually increasing at an accelerating rate.
That's tremendous. Great. So Luke, tell us a little bit more about the return on investment for the builder. I mean, we're certainly understanding the customer experience side of this. This is, you know, home run for the customer because they get to basically, you know, see, click, go, I like to say, you know, right now they mm-hmm. can get service. But what's the return on investment for the builder?
Yeah, for sure. So a lot of it's going to come down to the team and the individuals and the skills, you know, that you have to relocate to the customer location or the job site. And so depending on the scenario, it might be an individual with a vehicle and some tools. It might be a whole team with some pretty involved equipment needed to do the work. But our customers are telling us that it's costing them somewhere between $500 and $1,000 per trip. And so some of the language that we use is that trips are the enemy of our company and our product. Like, we're trying to eliminate as many of those trips as we possibly can. And so our customers are getting somewhere between 10 and 100x return on their investment using our software, just because they're able to take not only eliminate that cost, but also eliminate the risk, which if you want to track that down as a business person, there's a cost attached to that. And then of course, you know, time to resolve, because there's an opportunity cost of what else you or your team could be doing, as opposed to driving. And that's one of the things that we like to spend time talking about is, you know, ultimately you hire people for their expertise and for their skills, not for their driver's license. So why do so many companies spend up to 30% of their employees' time driving from location to location, depending on their job? So in terms of ROI for builders, somewhere between 10 and 100x return, just because they're able to resolve these things in minutes. I think our average resolve time is just a shade under 10 minutes, as opposed to hours, multiple days, or in some cases, even a week or more, depending on if there's, you know, a flight and significant travel involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and then, you know, you pointed to the risk portion of it, which leads me to the whole other side of this is everyone's going to say, well, we'll just use FaceTime. So why don't you talk to me about why that may or not work?
Yeah, well, I mean, on the surface, it's 25% of the world uses iPhone and has FaceTime natively in their device. So that's going to work really great for those folks. And for everybody else, there's a whole bunch of connection problems. And then you start going to third-party products. So Skype, Zoom, products like this. But like we always talk about, those are designed to be person-to-person interactions. Those are designed to be individual and personal. They're not recorded. So as soon as the session happens, it's lost. And what we've really tried to focus on is building for the enterprise. And so language that we use sometimes is building your corporate memory. So every interaction that your people have with your customers is recorded by default on our product. We have a number of security and privacy measures put into place specifically to protect people's privacy so that your data and your video history is stored in a dedicated database that's accessible only by your company and by individual employees who have accounts, as opposed to, you know, the flip side of it is if we were to audit 10 devices in your organization, would there be photos or video of customer locations inside of homes and all that kind of stuff? And the answer is always, well, yes, 10 out of 10 would have that. And then you start having conversations about, well, everybody's devices by default are set up to back up to personal cloud accounts, which is, you know, a privacy and security violation in itself. But I won't go too far into that, Paul, because I know not everybody's tuning in today to hear me talk about GDPR and other security and privacy things.
Right.
But needless to say, the personal versus the enterprise security settings are significant. And, you know, since all of this has started and everybody became Zoom experts overnight, everybody's become a lot more aware of some of the privacy things, and Zoom bombing became a word, right? That nobody would have ever even been talking about 100 days ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, the simple of it is that it's the Wild West right now. I see what you see is going to bring everyone in compliance. So the short of it is that you're getting customer consent, which is at the core of all compliance right now, is that the customer can either opt out and say, no, I don't want this recording, or yes, I do give you permission to keep the recording. And by the way, as I understand it, the customer also gets a copy of that recording if the company wants them to have it, so that they can review whatever service tips or instructions in the future.
They do. And what's really interesting is that nobody really opts out of these simply because the alternative is too painful. You know, I know this is a podcast about customer experience, but we built this product because the experience of sitting in your home and waiting multiple days for somebody to have hit this huge time window to come to your house and take a look at something is so painful that people are happy to get on a 5 or a 10 minute video call to be able to solve their problem almost immediately. Like, that's the extent to which customer expectations have changed in 2020. And so to be able to provide that to, you know, the service and the construction industry, we think is a real game changer.
Well, I just can't imagine anyone going forward right now. If you're a home builder right now and you're listening and you don't have this tool, you're essentially in the Stone Age, right? You need this tool. You need to be able to digitize all aspects of the business. And people, like I say, they want everything right now and they want it instant. And this tool will enable you to do it, keeps you in compliance. And I know it sounds like a pitch, but I think this is more of a need to have kind of tool than anything else. Because if you don't have it, your customer experience is going to be a lot less. You have so much friction and exposure potential to this pandemic that, you know, how can you operate without something like this?
Yeah. And on that point, Paul, we know that it's being hacked together right now. And that's really the difference, right? Is people are taking photos, they're taking video, they're trying to use FaceTime, they're hacking together this experience. Right. And we think it's such a game changer to actually have a controlled enterprise experience that can be branded. It's so different.
Well, the other big piece of it is now that you've got all these recordings, think about from the organization standpoint, the power that that brings now, for example, you know, the ability to document from a liability standpoint that this was said, that we communicated to you, ma'am, that, that, you know, in this call that you needed to do X, Y, and Z. And so you now have legal protection as well, I would assume, correct? That there's some liability benefits for us?
But what's often said and what's often heard are two different things, right? And so we enable the both people to reconcile what happened within the conversation with a recorded artifact. And as we've had a couple of customers that, you know, they're currently in discovery and through legal dispute, and this is a home builders, and you know, their angle is, well, geez, if we only had I see what you see at this time, then there would be no dispute over the discussion. And what you find is that because both people have the exact copy of what was discussed, and it even mitigates the initiation of disputes, because it comes down to, there it is in audio and video, what was discussed. And if you don't comply, like if you left the, you know, you left the water running as example, and the builder told you to turn the water off, well, whose liability is it now? When it comes down to discovery around the instructions that were given, and there it is in video, and you know, it's very difficult to dispute that. So it mitigates even the initiation of disputes because the evidence is right there.
That's tremendous. Yes. So Luke, tell us a little bit about the builders that are using this today and your penetration in the market.
Yes, we have about a dozen builders using across North America, one of which who, you know, we won't name for consent purposes. See how I did that? is using it in 36 cities right now. And one of my favorite examples is we have one builder who's managing all home warranty calls across the state. Used to do it with an entire team, and now is managing that with two people who are, you know, these days doing it from the comfort of their living room, you know, sitting on their couch. And it's really quite incredible because they were able to do somewhere between 3 and 5 calls in a day, depending on how far apart the, you know, the homes were located. And now they're able to do as many as 20 or 30 in a day. It really is a game changer because you're not, you know, as an organization paying for the drive time. And that's really not what those people are there to do. They're there for their expertise, which is to assess home warranty issues.
That's amazing. Yes. And I can tell you that, you know, the customer experience timeline from an issue submission to response from a company is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. It used to be you could get back with somebody within 48 hours. That was the, you know, gold standard. Today, it's not so much. Now we're talking about within hours, even minutes now of submitting a request. If you can respond right now, bang, you know, with some kind of acknowledgement or even some action, you blow the top off the customer experience. People are so delighted and impressed because whenever someone submits a request, they go into a psychological state of worry now, right? And the longer you keep them in that stew of worry, the more your customer experience goes down. The quicker you respond and resolve it and take that pain away, goes up. So with your product, you know, we can go bang, you know, right, real quick. You could literally be minutes to hours in responding and actually getting something done. Truly amazing.
Yeah. And as an anecdote, I mean, when we were coming up with the first version of our product, one of the things that we were paying attention to is, you know, all it takes is a quick YouTube search, and there's millions and millions of views of DIY videos, because to your point, Paul, the expectation now is so fast, or that you want to get resolution to your problem within minutes or potentially hours at most, that people are willing to go and DIY in some cases these things and try and watch experts on YouTube because they want to get resolution quickly.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And that's where even more problems happen because they can mess things up.
That's right. And particularly the psychology of customer service is that, well, I'm not going to go DIY it because someone else should be fixing this. And so then you end up having this nagging issue that's sitting in front of the customer's face because it's their home. And that just creates a negative and ultimately a negative customer experience. You're evaluated by the lowest point of that customer's experience. And if that means you couldn't get there on time, that's what they remember. And that's what we mitigate.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining me today. This is truly insightful and I think revolutionary for the service industry, and not just in home building, but in any industry. I think it's going to become the standard of performance that, you know, if you can't respond quickly like this with a digital platform, you're out of the game. So I think you're going to have some great success. And for our listeners out there, if you'd like to learn more about this great company that's serving the home building industry and exclusively focused here in what we'll call the construction and utilities industry, this is a great company to work with. You can go to ICWhatYouSee.com. That's IC, the letters IC, what, the word what, UC, letters UC.com, and they can learn more about your company. Thank you both for taking the time today to share your exciting new platform.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, appreciate thanks for it. Having us, Paul.
You bet.
Take care.
On behalf of the Housing Innovation Alliance and the University of Denver, this is Dr. Eric Holt. Thank you for being part of our journey. This is where innovation calls home.